really just want to stand up here and read the words to that last hymn to y'all. Love came down at Chris. It's just beautiful, beautiful words. Thank you, Jeremy. Pray with me, please. Lord, you did come, and you will come again. And as we live and move and have our being in between times, would you this morning pull us closer to you? Would you speak to us this morning, Lord? Speak, please. We long to hear your voice. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. For the last sermon in Advent, talked a little bit about the expression that gave me some trouble as a high school kid. I was in youth group. I was in EYC. A lot of us still remember that expression, Episcopal Young Churchman. I was happy to be in EYC. I was content. I was safe. And I started to run into other friends of mine who went to other churches in town. And in the time that I was growing up, I began to get asked this question when I would go to other youth groups. Gary, and I mentioned this in my sermon, are you born again? And my reaction at the time as a teenager wanted to be something like, well, if it means being like you, then no. I didn't quite know what they meant, and it kind of offended me to have somebody so certain about their faith. Are you born again, they'd ask. Also during that time, a renewal movement began to sweep through the country through churches of all denominations. And I can remember my dad one time in the car pointing to a group of people who were outside doing a prayer service and saying, oh, look, there's a bunch of Jesus freaks over there. Have you ever heard that expression? He or she is a Jesus freak. It simply meant, I think for some people a derogatory term, but it meant they were sold out for Jesus. They were all in for Jesus. So whether you're born again or a Jesus freak, I want you to listen a little bit to an alternative expression that Paul brings to us from 2,000 years ago. Paul would say, Jesus freak born again in Christ. Don read beautifully from Ephesians this morning. And three times in that reading, just at the very beginning of that letter to a church Paul has never visited, he's reminding them of the most important thing. He's reminding them of the central piece of the gospel, which is that we are found in Christ. So, born again, Jesus freak, or in Christ, you can choose. But what is it that drives people, drives some of us maybe this morning to want to give our lives to Jesus? To want to believe before all things, before anything, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then living that out in belief and in trust in undeniable ways, in countercultural ways, in giving up everything to follow Jesus' ways, in leaving home to be missionary ways, in giving radically and sacrificially ways, in devoting more time to others than ourselves ways, in building ramps for people that we don't know ways, in giving money and time to people out of work ways, and in other parts of this nation, think North Carolina, and in the world, think Kenya or the Bahamas ways. The testimonies I've heard from people who have confessed giving it all up for Jesus range from having a vision, oh, I saw something, or being told in a dream that Jesus was real. I have a friend who claims an angel landed on the hood of his 74 Duster on the middle of Highway 61 passing Middleton Gardens, and the next thing he knew, he was in his parents' driveway 30 miles away. And the angel told him, go to church tomorrow. That's his conversion testimony. Some have periods of prolonged suffering, and for some, their conversion to belief in Jesus happens in moments of incredible joy. Here's an atheist that I plucked out this week who converted at this very moment. It's a mom looking at her baby. How fitting. She says, I looked down and thought, what is this baby? From a pure atheist materialist perspective, this baby is a randomly evolved collection of chemical reactions. And I realized that if that's true, then all the love I feel for my son, this baby, is nothing more than chemical reactions in my brain. And I looked down at him again, and I thought, that's not true. It's not the truth. So what is the truth? Christians say, we affirm over and over on Sundays, Jesus Christ is the truth. Over the holidays, I read this book by Justin Brierley called Unbelievable. The subtitle was, Why, After 10 Years of Talking and Debating with Atheists, I'm Still a Christian. It was a fascinating book and easy to read. He lists three reasons why he's still a Christian. I'll lay them out at your feet for you to decide if they make sense. He said, Christianity or God makes sense of human existence, number one. In other words, we can explain why we're here and what's going on if we believe in Christianity. God makes sense of human value, number two. In other words, we assign value to people because of God. It's not something we've evolved to do. And lastly, he says, God makes sense of human purpose. That's what I want to look at this morning. And I want to ask this question, what is giving us purpose in our lives if it's not Jesus? What is giving us purpose? Is it our job? Is it our family? Is it money? Is it exercise? What is giving us purpose if it's not Jesus? And if it's not Jesus, I want us to consider at the beginning of 2025, this new year, making a simple resolution. And here it is. Hold on. To either be a freak for Jesus, born again, or for this morning, something more comfortable for me to say, being found in Christ. Turning all of our will over to Jesus to see what kind of year we might have in 2025. The scripture promises blessing upon blessing, but it all starts with a belief in Jesus. He looks at his friends on the night that he's arrested Jesus. He's in a room, had a great dinner, Passover meal. And he says to them these words, John 14, believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. That mother looking at that newborn baby who was converted from non-belief to belief was believing on account of the work of the birth of that child. You see, Jesus and the Father are connected. We're all born with that same desire to be connected just like them. That was my first and last Advent sermon's point. Being with God today, and being with God for eternity. That's why I think for a lot of us who like contemporary music, the words from a particular song called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For describes a particular place in our life. Maybe not everybody, but the words are powerful because humans are born with a strong desire, a desire to know that we matter and that what we do matters. Look at how hard some of us people please. We people please at work. We people please in our families. We people please with our friends and our spouses and our children. Because we have a desire to be loved and valued. From the smallest, most insignificant action to the grandest action in our lives, that what we do and who we are matters. In the gospel today, friends, the three wise men are looking for the truth. They're looking for something that matters. These are intellectual, wealthy men. They've abandoned their countries, they've abandoned their homes, their status, and their families to go find and follow a baby that they believe is born the Messiah for the Jews. They're going to a foreign land. They're risking their lives to find what they believe will point to the ultimate truth. Who they believe will point to the ultimate truth. Remember, we don't believe in a what, we believe in a who. So think of those three men and their entourage. I like to. I love Christmas and all the images. Think of those three men on camels, if you'd like. And they've got lots of people with them, people to cook, people to clean, people to change their clothes, people to feed the horses. So it's an entourage. It's a posse. They come from three different places. They all kind of meet in the desert with the same story. We've seen the star. And they set out together to Jerusalem. Think of those men on this journey and listen to just a couple of these words. And no, I'm not going to sing them, Danny. From that song. Listen. I have climbed highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you. I have run. I have crawled. I have scaled these city walls only to be with you. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. No, the writer of that song, and most of us, if we're honest, I think, realize, like the words say, nothing else matters. Nothing else satisfies like Jesus. But here's the place I really want to push in. Finding God is important. There's no doubt about it. Maybe the most important thing in our lives. But as Ryan pointed out in his Advent sermon, we must never forget the more important piece to that is that God, in the form of Jesus, has been trying to find all of us. Jesus was on a journey toward us long before we decided to follow Jesus. I love to counsel young people getting married. I did it yesterday. And one of the things I hear often in the 20 to 30-year-old group is that life's a journey. They're on this fabulous journey to experience and discover all life has for them, which is true. But I try to remind them each and every time that that journey that you're on only makes sense and has purpose if you're taking Jesus with you. I've come to understand that believing in God is not a huge stretch. Hear me on this. I grew up in a beautiful Episcopal church, much like this one. I've sat in those pews, and I think, for the most part, most everyone that comes believes in God. The Bible mentions that even the demons believe in God. Now, what I want to talk about for a few more minutes is the big faith step, or the big stretch, which is to believe that Jesus was and is who he claimed to be, the Son of God incarnate, fully God sent by the Father, and fully man sent to save us. So as we begin this new year, my hope for PGW is that we all consider becoming Jesus freaks, becoming born again, or being found in Christ. You don't have to tell anybody. You can just treasure it in your heart. At the 9 o'clock service, I was at the communion rail. Somebody I didn't expect said, "Come here." I thought, oh, okay. And I had the pat. I leaned down. I said, "Yes." She said, "Don't tell anybody. I'm a Jesus freak." I said, "Okay." So you don't know her name, but somebody at 9 apparently identifies as a Jesus freak. Hear me on this. What I'm not talking about is simply a belief in God. No, today I want us to deal with Jesus, the man who walked the earth for 33 years, who was crucified, who rose from the dead. You see, believing in Jesus changes everything. Believing in God, in my experience, leads only to trying to work our way into heaven, trying to act right, do right, behave right, so that we can get in heaven and gain God's favor. Believing in Jesus takes us to our knees in repentance and thanksgiving. Believing in Jesus allows him to enter into our lives and lift us up and give us the power of his Holy Spirit to do the work that he's given us to do, as we say every Sunday. And that work is simply to love and serve him and others. That's what we're preaching about, Ryan and I and Mike, week after week, surrendering our lives, surrendering our wills to receive the innumerable benefits of a new life in Christ. It's one of my favorite expressions, in Christ or in him. Paul says it 140 plus times in the New Testament. Listen to what one of my commentators said, an Englishman named J.B. Card. Here's what in Christ means. Here's why it's the heart of the Christian good news. Listen. Men and women, you and I are born into natural solidarity with the human race. In other words, we're all bound by our humanity, bound by sin and bound by death, unable to free ourselves from the dark powers. That's what it means to be born in Adam. We are stained with sin. But on the fact of this solidarity of nature, in other words, on the fact that we agree with one another, or at least one of the same as nature would have it, we share with one another whether we like it or not. On that fact rests the possibility of a new solidarity of choice in which the voluntary offer of Christ meets the voluntary response of faith. He goes on to say, Christ chose to come as a human, born in the flesh to identify with us so that we might choose to be transferred from the old life of failure and defeat into the new environment of spiritual and moral victory. That's what it means to be in Christ. This new life in Christ is possible for three reasons, Paul says. I'm just going to hit on them. In verse 7 that we heard Don read, it's possible because we've been given forgiveness, blessed forgiveness, because we have redemption through his blood. Secondly, it's a blessed adoption or a new identity, verse 11. We're given a new inheritance. We're given new names. We're given new driver's license, new passports, new everything. We're new creations. And finally, we're empowered to live in these in-between times by the blessed assurance of the guarantee of our salvation, which is the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Promised gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who consistently helps us to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives shape and meaning to our life. Ryan reminded us at the end of the sermon series in Advent that we're brought home now and forever. We're given freedom to live this redemptive life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we're given a benefit of peace for our lives, trusting that our lives and future are predestined by God, a word that we just heard Don read. in my daily devotional that I'm really falling in love with, and I've been at it 3 years, the same one, I think one of the reasons I like it so much is he speaks in such plain English. 2 days ago, God, incidentally, he talked about why some of us may struggle with the idea of being born again or being called a Jesus freak or being found in Christ. Listen to what he says. His name's Chris Teagreen. Not only did God come to the earth himself as Jesus, he continues to do so. The reason we don't often feel him in us is that we don't want to pursue his presence as zealously as we pursue other things in life. We are distracted by lesser goals, and we forget what's available to us. Pray with me. Lord, help each of us to spend some time today and every day this year by asking God to rest in us. Lord, help each of us to ask Jesus to come as close as he wants. Then, Lord, when we feel his closeness, let us trust that it is good and receive his blessed assurance that in Christ, we are blessed beyond measure now and for eternity. Lord, I pray this year that everyone at Prince George and beyond would become truth seekers like the wise men who long to be in Christ and seek him. Call us this morning, Lord, to be Jesus freaks, born again, or found in Christ. Whichever we are, Lord, make us this year grateful for the gift of grace and eager to share that gift with others. Amen.